Assalamu alaikum. I'm very happy that we have finally made it to episode number 4 and building a community where each one of us is really very passionate about self-empowerment, rising above our labels, what we do, where we are, but entirely about self-awareness and self-growth and development. Today, I'm really excited to share with you my personal journey on the power of building communities, growth and resilience, and I would also like to shed some light on some of the narratives that we have in the current world where we usually discuss or think that we often feel like alone, just by myself, I can live my life entirely self-sufficient, I can do this, life is good, and I could handle literally anything and everything that comes my way or life throws me, and anything, I can figure it out. But the reality of that is that we are shaped by people around us. It could be a stranger that decides to help us on the roadside, or somebody that smiles at the little one that's with us, family that will back us up in our down times, a neighbor that would wave, a colleague that helps at work, a friend who would just check in with us at any point of the day. All of these interactions really impact our mental and emotional health. The psychological, the biggest psychological impact of belongingness is humans are social creatures, and they do need a lot of social interaction. Being a part of community really improves our mental health. It provides us the support during the times of hardships and enhances our resilience. These are the people around us that shape our narratives, builds a better life, and makes this world a better place to live in. From my personal experience, I'm going to share with you something really personal about how I came to conclusion that it's really essential to build our communities and stay positive. Because in the current times where we have so much of pressure and so much about us, not always it's easy to be positive. And these people really play a big part in our well-being, in our personal growth and development and learning life. You know, they really define how to live this life. I remember I was 5 months in my pregnancy, obviously the first pregnancy, and by the end of it is when I also had, well, this was my first pregnancy, and by the end of it, this was my first ever loss that I had. I lost my father, prox 2.5 years back on 10th of January, and I was halfway of pregnancy, because end of 5 months, about to be the 6 months on. And obviously, I was away from the house, away from my own people, people that really mattered and people I would like to be surrounded by in such a tough time where I actually came across what loss felt like, what and how we process loss. So my family, obviously, you know, when everybody's away and you are away from everyone, pretty much briefed most of the people to not let me know, because this was the first pregnancy. I was busy. I was working. I was away from home. And they just didn't want it to break down something to me, because when you don't know what loss means, you don't know how to process it. So eventually we decided, when I'm in the comfort of my home, you know, my husband will let me know. But then there's this one person who decided to inform me early morning, as and when I hit my office, a space where you cannot always be very vulnerable, a space where you have to have a facade of a very corporate look, and you just can't experiment a lot. So this person decides to let me know in a very dramatic way, and all of a sudden, I felt this intense pain that pulled me down, pushed me away, and stretched me. And a lot of that was hard to process. I, at that point, when people reach out to you and let you know things, especially knowing that they might harm you and the life that is living inside you, but they do take the privilege of experimenting. They somehow feel that they need to reach out to you, whatever their reasons may be. Fast forward, I came home, I stayed a night. Next morning, I woke up. I decided life goes on. Because you see, trauma is very hard to process. And when you're processing that, it gets really tough. So you can't really decide what you need to do and how. So fast forward, the next morning, I wake up, dress up, and I'm heading to my office. When I reach, there's one of the heads of department reach out to me, also my manager, a great man that I love, and I'm glad is part of my supportive community, told me that I needed to take 3 days off and process pain. So I told him, like, I remember saying, no, I'd rather be working because I can't go back. I'm, 6 months pregnant. You can't get on a plane. There's COVID. There's this, there's that. And you just can't make it on time. And you won't be able to say goodbye. So I'd rather focus on work and keep myself busy. So when he told me that, no, I need 3 days to process my emotions because there is life inside me and that life needs more of my attention, a healthy me in general. So I took his advice. I came home. I stayed 3 days to myself. And it really worked wonders for me. I was able to process my emotion. I was able to process what was next. And I was able to process that loss is normal. It happens to everyone. We just need to find our way on how to deal with it and live with it. Fast forward 4 days, I'm home. I rested. I came across my emotions and I decided to return to work. Is when I'm getting my coffee and someone from a very senior management, from actually the vice president of the brand, walks in and tells me, hi, how have you been? How's the pregnancy going on? And so on, his general chit chat. And before he leaves, he grabs his coffee. And before he leaves, he tells me, Vanessa, grieving is a process. It takes its time, but it doesn't mean the pain goes away. It stays and it gets even more grave. However, we just learn how to cope and carry on. These two people, I think if at that point weren't around me, processing the entire scenario might have been very hard because, yes, of course, you have doctors and other people around you. I was blessed with a whole team that looked after my pregnancy for me and kept telling me on how I need to maneuver and process my emotions in order to have a healthy child, not just physically, but also mentally. So now, fast forward now, and it's 2.5 years in it, I do see three major characters that exist in my community. Is one who feels the urge to experiment and put me and that little life in danger. Then there's this one person who taught me and supported me on how to process my emotions, how to process the entire scenario. Ending it up with a man who told me, process usually takes forever and it just stays with us. So, all of that, sometimes you just sit back and you imagine, if I had only one of this in my community, maybe the negative one, I can imagine where I would be now. I'm glad that I had my support community that was there to support me and teach me how to process this, because I don't know if they were not here, what would I do? And this phase in my life entirely taught me strongly the power of building connections, a supportive community. So I learned something that is so powerful on how important it is to have our communities. And I hope that nobody has to learn it this way, that social connections do reduce the feeling of loneliness, which is the core reason of why we have depression, and especially women, because they carry a lot in their bodies, in their minds, in their souls, that they eventually end up in depression, not knowing what to do with themselves in their lives. Because with time and depression, they fail to build their supportive communities. And in tough times, you know, the presence of community can provide emotional and psychological, even practical support. These communities challenge us and constantly back us up in order to proceed and process further in life. Being part of different groups and races and cultures and professions can open doors to perspectives, new perspectives, new ideas that can help us, you know, process things in life. Because when you're part of different elements, different cultures and different places, and that's where you build your communities, your vision magically broadens. Now, within that also comes our online communities. Think about the communities you're part of. How do they shape you, and how are you in return shaping it? Now, you know, most likely to those who feel or have lack of offline connections tend to build a lot of online connections. You know, just think about it, how magical it is. Somebody makes some content in the East while another person is using that content in the West, trying to portray what they feel about their lives, what their emotions are, or what is their perspective on life. You know, this idea of sharing content is giant. It's magical. And it really connects us, you know. That's how we build our online identities, our online communities, and become a support to each other. I do see that there is a lot of negativity there too, but there is a platform that builds a lot of support. We, in the current times, are witnessing something massive, an online war. You call it genocide, you call it anything, conflict of interest, politics, or whatever you call it. We are witnessing that. We are seeing it. But imagine the opportunity we have here. Platforms that allow us to share our support and love to people we care for. I mean, I'm not sitting in a war zone, but I do care about their feelings, being a mother, being a woman, having sisters, having a mom, having a husband, having family, job, a life, friends, in everything that I have achieved in my life so far. Imagine it's taken away from me because someone had a conflict of interest. I think it's really magical how we use these platforms to share our anger, rage, opinions, and just support each other and be there for each other. So here is the thing. To be able to keep growing and become a better version of ourselves, better version of you, you need to stop being shy. You need to start communicating and building your community, the right people at the right places. If you love wellness and wellness is important for you, join a wellness group online, join a wellness event, a community, people that are in the same era or in the same mindset where you are. So I know that you might, if you are very keen on the idea of having a community and how to build your community, and I know that this can be a very tough subject and it can be really hard, but which we are very good at doing at Quiet Reflections, flipping the scripts, I'm going to flip it up to you for very quick practical tips on how you can build your own supportive communities. Number one, identify your core values and your interests. Where do you come from? Who are you? And what do you stand for? It's really important you identify that in order for you to find your voice and your community, because you need to be intentional in your search of community, which leads me to your point number two, that you, rather than you jumping into mass communities just for the sake of having people in your own community, you need to narrow down as in who are you and what do you stand for and where do you want to build your people and your support community towards, of course, with a lot of diversity. But you must start small and build trust, which leads me to point number three, which is start with intimate groups, one, two, three, or four people. Doesn't have to be a big room of people where you tend to feel lost and then obviously just eventually quit. Quitting is not a solution. I think the best part is when you want to find your people, you need to start small with intimate groups. That is, you focus on quality and not the quantity. You need to be a contributor, not just a consumer, which leads me to my second last point, that as much as you take from a community, as much as you take from people and their insights and their knowledge, you must contribute towards that. Your life is a series of experiences that you've had and you've learned it your way. Don't shy out of sharing your journey and be unapologetic about it. You have your shoes and you know where it hurts. So be open. Don't be shy of sharing your insights with your people. So remember, contributing is the key to it. And obviously, diversify your connections. Like, you know, you can't have same people on the group and expect to have various opinions or perspectives or have a broadened vision of how life can be or how communities can be or how businesses build or how people grow and accept themselves. You need to find diversity to understand what happens when people have same scenarios but their shoes hurt from different angles. Well, while it is important to build your community, it is equally important to maintain that community. It is definitely very, very important that you maintain that community. And maintaining is the second word to consistency. You need to have consistency in terms of showing up to people that matter, showing up to causes that matter. Be vocal about what you see and what you feel about it. And foster authentic connections. Authenticity goes really, really long way. So don't be afraid of letting people see who you are, what your journey has been about, what you believe in, and what you are against of. Authenticity is the key to ensure that the community you have built is going to stand for you and with you when you need it so. I think also, to almost point number three of maintaining meaningful connections, is practicing active listening with empathy. We don't always have to agree with people. We don't always have to judge people in order to have some empathy. Sometimes we just sit down, listen, and empathize. Like I said, you know, different cultures and different races have different opinions and beliefs, and only they know where their shoes hurt. We cannot expect a weak person to just come out powerful and tell another person, you can't bully me. For example, you see a lot of overweight people usually laugh at their own selves, crack jokes, because they just somehow feel they're not important. Their presence is not that valid. And it all goes down to just constantly degrading themselves. Sometimes you don't judge them and just remind them that everybody matters and every presence is precious. Offer support, but don't expect anything in return, because when you do a goodwill, it eventually fosters and reciprocates back over time. It finds you. And trust me, it just finds you. I think I wouldn't be here where I am in life if that was not my case, if that was not my motto, if that's not how I had built my community. And obviously, a ritual of staying connected is really very important. It can be a text, can be a call, an email, a morning walk, an afternoon tea catch-up. It can be anything, but it's really important that we show up, that we see our people, and we remind them that we are there for them whenever they need or whatever situations they may be in. I think, the long story short, I will cut it down to three major things that I personally feel is very important to have your own community, to have your support system, your defense mechanism, which in the current times has become a necessity, which I think the generations before us really practiced it. That is one of the reasons why their lifespan was bigger, their skin was better, they didn't age like us so fast. They achieved much more than we do now with the amount of effort we're putting in. Number one, you engage actively in communities by giving as much as you receive. Your contribution has to be there. It shouldn't be like building incentive on other people's timings. And focusing on importance of authenticity, understanding who you are and what you stand for, but also finding means of empathy with other people and what they are going through. And of course, balancing online and offline communities is very important. You can't have an online life and be alone offline. Finding the balance is towards a healthy dynamics of lifestyle. This brings me to an end to it. Thank you for joining me. But before I leave, I do tell you that you do build your communities. Don't be shy. Show up for the causes that you believe in. Show up for people that you love and that matter to you. Until we meet again, stay curious.